Hey, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to this week's message. My name's Aaron, and I'm on the staff team here at Eastlake. Everything we do around here depends on the generous donations of our local and online community, people just like you, who tune into these messages and see great benefit from living that idea that life is a gift and love is the point. So if you love what Eastlake is up to, we'd encourage you to contribute by going to eastlakecc.com. With that, let's jump into this week's message.
Today we're continuing our series that we've been in called Character Matters, where we're talking about values to cultivate in the human spirit that allow us to do this, to live as a beneficial presence on the earth. And I'm so excited to introduce you one of my new friends, Imam Jamal Rahman, who is with us. Jamal leads and co-leads the Interfaith Community Sanctuary in Seattle. And it's a beautiful community. I got to be a part of one of their services recently, and we'll be sharing there at some point here in the future. He's a teacher, adjunct faculty at Seattle University, has written extensively. One of the reasons I was drawn to him is he's been working in the interfaith space for a long time. I feel like we have a lot to learn about how to engage in that. This is new to our community. And he's been working faithfully in that. It's been said that we will not have peace among the nations until we have peace among the religions. And so we want to be an active part in participating, but first by listening and learning. And today he's going to speak on joy as an imam, as a Muslim Sufi. And would you do a great job of welcoming him as he comes forward? Jamal.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. My honor and pleasure. My dear friends, what a genuine joy to be here. One of my greatest blessings of 2019 has been to meet Brother Ryan Meeks and his wonderful colleagues. It really, as a Muslim mystic say, this really splashes in my heart. I'm a Muslim, but I'm wildly open to the beauty and wisdom of all traditions. And through my own experience, I find this waters my Islamic roots. Not only makes me a better Muslim, but a more complete, developed human being. Which is why we say interfaith is not about conversion. Interfaith is about completion, becoming a more complete, developed human being. By the way, I love the music. I never thought with this music I would calm down, but I really did calm down. I want to say, an Islamic teacher once said, in fact, it was Rumi. Some of you might know Rumi, the 13th century sage, the most popular poet in the West now. He said, music is the sound of the spheres, and we have been part of this harmony before. And all this singing, treble and bass, keeps our remembering fresh. And this just reminded me of a story, a Rumi story. I mentioned Rumi. In Islam, we do a practice called zikr. It means remembrance of God through singing, through chanting, through invoking the names of those sacred insights, divine attributes of God. So once Rumi with his circle was singing and chanting, some got up and dancing, and there were some very conservative Muslims. And one very, right-wing conservative, he said, "What is all this singing, 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 singing?" Rumi said, "Brother, music is the sound of the creaking of the doors of paradise." And immediately the man said, "I hate the sound of creaking." And Rumi said, "Brother, that's because for you, when you hear the sound of the creaking of the doors of paradise, for you, the doors are closing." So my friends, today, I'm going to talk about joy. There's a wonderful verse in the Quran which says, Allah, or the God of all of humanity, says, "Of everything we have created opposites. So you might know only God is one. High is defined by low. Sugar is sweet in contrast to vinegar. We cannot understand, appreciate, experience, taste joy unless we also taste its opposite, sorrow. Some of you might know of this book, The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. It's one of the most widely read books. He says, the more that sorrow carves into your being, the more that sorrow carves into your being, the more joy it can contain. To which Islamic mystics remind us again and again, don't run towards pain and suffering and sorrow, just don't run away from it when it happens in your life. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in times of affliction, his prayer was, oh God, please save me from its harm. Save me from its harm, but please do not deprive me of its good. Okay, I thought I would go through the three principles and five pillars of Islam and glean the elements of joy. The word Islam, what does it mean? It literally means to surrender in peace. But the important question is, what are you surrendering? So those who understand Islam, those who read the Quran, they know that it is about the joy, the inner peace you feel when you surrender your attachment to your ego. So that, as the Quran says, you can bring a heart turned in devotion to God. Each one within us, whether you have a religion, don't have a religion, we have within us what is called a divine spark. But how do you connect with the divine spark? You have to go beyond the ego. The Quran says you have to transform the ego from a commanding master into a personal assistant. And this is one of the main reasons the Quran says we are here on planet Earth. One half of our reason for being who we are, born here, so we can connect to our Christ nature, Buddha nature, Allah nature, Elohim nature. And the second half is being of service to God's creation. There's a beautiful revelation that came to the Prophet Muhammad in a dream where God says, I was a secret treasure. Spirit, mystery, God is saying, I was a secret treasure and I longed to be known. And so I created you and the worlds, visible and invisible. This is a revelation called Hadith Qudsi, which many Islamic mystics spend a lifetime meditating on. I was a secret treasure, says God, and I long to be known. And so I created you and the worlds, visible and invisible. So how do we get to connect with a divine spark? Someone asked Prophet Muhammad this. And he said, you know thyself and you shall know thy sustainer, the divine spark within you. He also said, die before you die. Die to all that is false within you before you die a physical death. And when you connect to the divine spark, it is ultimate joy. Many, many beautiful enlightened beings have experienced that joy. Even Prophet Muhammad, you know, when he connected, he exclaimed, Ana huwa, wa huwa ana. Ghaira ana anna wa huwa huwa. Do some of you know what that means? It means, I am He. I am God. And He is I. Except that I am I and God is God. Other Sufi mystics who have experienced that divine spark, for example, the 9th century Bistami, when he connected, you know, he burst out, glory be to me. How great is my majesty! But this is a statement, an insight, a declaration, an articulation of the deepest humility. So Know thyself. By the way, my greatest training in spirituality was by listening to and meditating on teaching stories. In Islam, we have a humorous character called the Mullah, Mullah Nasruddin, through whom very profound truths are conveyed, particularly about going beyond the ego. The ego can never be destroyed, but ego can be transformed. So here's a wonderful story that has gone all over the world. The Mullah is going on one of his constitutional walks on a moonlit night, and he happens to peer inside a well, and he's shocked. Why? Oh my God, the moon has fallen into the well. So, Sister Moon, fear not, I'll help. He goes home, gets a rope and a hook, he puts it down there, he plunges it in, he probably catches something, he heaves and pushes, something comes loose, and he falls on his back and sees the moon restored to its proper domain. And he says, thank God I came along. So this is worthy of long periods of meditation. One, it has many levels of meaning. One level of meaning is our ego has a very exaggerated opinion about itself. So just be with that. You know, I work with a rabbi and a pastor in Interfaith Community Sanctuary and also outside of it. We are called the Interfaith Amigos. And one of our favorite stories is about getting beyond our stuckness. We get stuck in certain patterns of behavior. And unless you observe yourself, you will never feel the joy, the freedom of being liberated from this stuckness. Here's a story. The mullah goes to work, opens his lunch pail box. What does he find? A cheese sandwich. But second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, it's always a lousy cheese sandwich. On the 10th day, the mullah says, he complains, oh my God, I'm getting sick and tired of this lousy cheese sandwich. So his puzzled co-workers say, mullah, why don't you ask your wife to make you a different kind of sandwich? Be persuasive. I'm not married. Who makes them? I do. You see, it's the story of our lives. Maybe one more story where the mullah talks about how we are so slavishly dependent on pundits, experts, authorities. We forget, as the Prophet Muhammad said, we forget to consult our heart. The mullah is deathly ill. His wife is wailing and lamenting. And now in comes the authority. Who is the authority? The allopathic doctor, who examines the mullah at length and then turns to the wife and says, oh, wife of the mullah, your husband has passed away into the bosom of God. He is dead. Only God is immortal. He goes on and on. But the mullah is not dead. He's feebly saying, I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. What does the wife say? Quiet. Don't argue with the doctor. So that's very critical to know if I want to experience joy within my being, to be able to go beyond my ego, transform my ego. Another meaning of surrender, and I'll move very quickly, is can we let go of our attachment to the past? There's a wonderful 14th century sage named Hafiz who says, what is the difference between sad people and happy people? The sad people have made a shrine to their past. And they go there regularly and do a strange wail and lament and mourning. And who are the happy people? They are the ones who have stopped being so religious like that. That was the first principle. I better move fast. The second principle is iman, or having faith. The Quran suggests you can only have joy, peace with faith if you move from, these are words of a mystic, from borrowed certainty to an inner knowing. So in the Quran, there are three stages. If you really want to experience authentic faith, the first one is called ilm al-yaqeen, belief through hearsay. Second one is Ainul Yaqeen, Ain means eyes, through exploration, witnessing. That's the second stage. Third stage is Haqqal Yaqeen. It has to be a truth that emerges from within you. And we really need faith. Faith in something. You see, in our community we have atheists, agnostics, and I tell them, you're the most spiritual people. You love God very, very much. You know, there's a wonderful story of an atheist or agnostic who tells his son, son, there is no God. And the son, who is trained to question, says, father, how do you know? And the father says, son, you've got to take it on faith. So here's a wonderful story, which is both in Buddhism and also in Islam. It's allegorical. Why we need faith. A man has to go to a certain destination. He crosses mountains, deep, dark forest, but now comes to a body of water too large to cross. But he casts his creative eyes around. He sees some bamboo poles and some jute, we call in our country, twinings. He makes a small raft. He gets on it, and he crosses the river. He overcomes his obstacle. But having gone to the other side, he picks up the raft and puts it on his head and continues on his journey. And the caption is, and how burdensome his journey has become. And why should he put it down? There might be other huge bodies of water. Maybe this time no bamboo, no twinings. Ah, but have faith. Have faith. This universe is very, very magical. I'm from a country called Bangladesh. There's a Bengali poet, an Indian Bengali poet named Tagore, you might have heard of him, the first Asian to win the Nobel Prize. He says, faith is the bird that sings in the dark. Faith is a bird that sings in the dark, knowing that dawn is coming. Okay, move on to the third principle. It's called ihsan. Making yourself beautiful with the divine qualities of God. You know, the Quran, which is the most misunderstood book in the world, has 114 chapters, and virtually all of the chapters starts with this invocation, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, which means in the name of God, who is boundlessly compassionate, infinitely merciful. So a Bedouin once asked the Prophet Muhammad, tell me about this Basmallah. What is the secret behind this? Prophet Muhammad famously said, if you really want to experience inner peace, joy, contentment, fulfillment in life, this is a secret. Be compassionate with yourself and be compassionate with others. But the emphasis is more on be gentle, merciful, compassionate with yourself. By the way, as I say these beautiful things about Muslims and the Quran, I'm not saying all Muslims are following that. I'm not saying all non-Muslims are following that. So how does one explain the beauty, the majesty, the joy of this divine quality, mercy, compassion, gentleness? Not only in Islam, other traditions also, they take the metaphor of water from nature. There is nothing as soft and yielding as water is, yet for overcoming the hardest, the most insurmountable, there's nothing as powerful as water is. Meaning, the person who is gentle, merciful, is possessed of raw, authentic strength. And then as the Quran suggests, wherever water falls, life flourishes. The person who is gentle, merciful, is not only possessed of raw, authentic strength, is also life-bestowing, life-affirming. So how does one become gentle with oneself? It has many, many meanings. We teach classes on this, actually. But one important meaning is, can I be gentle with my difficult feelings? There was wonderful insight I saw on the screen about painful feelings, not running away from it. You see, difficult feelings have an edge only because they're separated from us. They're begging to be touched, acknowledged, embraced, integrated. The mystics say they're begging to be kissed. Carl Jung, who studied many Eastern traditions, he said, "Will you once in your life have the courage and the grace to kiss the demons and dragons within you? That is how they turn into a prince or princess." So embracing your difficult feelings, and in Islamic spirituality, we have many exercises to do that. What happens is your rage, if you embrace it with love and compassion, it gets transformed into inner vitality, enthusiasm. Fear becomes transformed into mindfulness. What does it mean to be compassionate towards others who are adversarial, difficult? A great Islamic mystic says, when dealing with someone who is adversarial, do what is right. Protect yourself. Don't allow yourself to be abused. But I beg you, as you take the right action, never keep this person's essence or being out of your heart. Make a distinction between behavior and being. Essence, the Christ nature, Buddha nature, Elohim nature, Allah nature. I'm against the behavior, not the being. So as I take the right action, but I keep this differentiation in my mind and heart between behavior and being, it is said, has the power to shift heaven and earth.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Eastlake Podcast. This is Ryan with a quick interruption. We'll jump back into the message in just a second. Once again, just wanted to say thank you to so many of you who are continuing to contribute. Many of you who don't even live anywhere physically near us. There's no geography that unites us. What unites us is this growing awareness that life is a gift and love is the point. And this crazy dream of cultivating a community that doesn't center around theological or supernatural agreement, but instead says, ultimately, a community of people who journey towards becoming love, that could actually make a difference in the world. So thanks for being a part of that. Thanks for contributing. If you haven't yet, but you find these messages helpful to your life, consider making a donation. Just hop onto our website, eastlakecc.com, and you can make a one-time or an ongoing donation there. So thanks for considering that. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your week. Let's jump back in with the message.
So my friends, I'm moving on. The five pillars. Let me take one part of the first pillar. La ilaha illallah. There is no God but God. What does that mean? It's the most enigmatic verse. There's a verse in the Quran which explains part of it. Truly in the remembrance of God do hearts find rest, peace, joy. You know, Prophet Muhammad once had a dream where Moses was asking God, "Oh God, are you far away that I should call out your name loudly? Or are you nearby that I just whisper?" And God said, "Beloved one, just remember me." And there's a beautiful verse in the Quran that says, Allah says, "We are closer to you than your jugular vein." You know, along these lines, there's a verse in the Quran that says, everything which exists in the heavens and the earth, everything is perishing, save only the face of thy sustainer, majestic, splendid. Meaning, this is very Buddhist actually, if you study Buddhism, that everything is changing, nothing is permanent. I want pleasure, but you know, I will find authentic joy, authentic peace if I really connect myself not so much to pleasure but to bliss. Bliss is my birthright. Can I make a distinction between form and essence? In my life, what am I aspiring for? Is it form or essence? It makes all the difference. Let me tell you a story again, which is in Buddhism, also in Islam. Let me take the Buddhist version. You know, Buddhist monks don't work because they are using their energy in being of service to others. So they go to householders' houses and they knock on the door and they beg for food. And this particular monk knocks on a door. It happens to be the house of a jeweler, one who specializes in precious stones. And of course, the householder is so happy to bring the food, they'll gain merit, puts the food in the monk's pouch. But then he notices in the pouch is an extraordinary, precious, invaluable stone, diamond. He says, "Monk, where did you get this? I'm a jeweler. This is worth millions of dollars." And Buddhist monks are supposed to have equanimity. He says, "Oh, I kind of remember 5 years ago, a disciple gave it to me." And the monk suddenly says, "Jeweler, do you want this?" "No, no, no, of course not. This belongs to you." He says, "I know. Because it belongs to me, I want to give it to you." With that, he hands this precious stone to the jeweler and the monk goes away. And the jeweler is so excited, exhilarated. His life has changed, life of his children, grandchildren. Now he begins to think, "Should I tell my wife about it? Of course, she's my wife, I love her, but she has a sister who's so gossipy. The whole village will know. Should I tell her, should I not tell her? Should I tell IRS, should I not tell IRS? Should I hire guards? Of course I must hire guards, so precious. But if I hire guards, people will know I'm guarding something very precious. Should I do this, should I do that?" Cannot sleep a wink. After 10 days, insight strikes him. He picks up the jewel and he runs after the monk. And after 10 days, or 20 days, he finds the monk and says, "Monk, monk, please take this gem back, but give me the real gem." "The real gem?" He says, "Yes, the real gem is the ease, the peace, the joy with which you are able to give me this precious stone. That is what I really want in life." Just be with that story. Second pillar in Islam is prayer. Prayer. Here's a true story of Emperor Akbar, considered the greatest Muslim emperor of India. Muslims ruled India for about 600, 700 years. Akbar's grandson made a monument you might know, the Taj Mahal. And Akbar used to pray a lot. And once he was praying in the forest, there was army all around him. But somehow a peasant girl was lost in thoughts and she crossed his prayer path. Muslims go like this, they bow and prostrate. Crossed the emperor's prayer path and the emperor experienced, shall I say, something akin to road rage. "How dare you cross my prayer path?" And she confessed, you know, that her beloved husband was missing and she was lost in thoughts of her beloved and she didn't see the emperor. And just as the emperor was about to give a punishment to this young peasant girl, she suddenly had the audacity to turn to the emperor and say, "Your Majesty, my emperor, but you also were lost in thoughts of your beloved. How is it you saw me?" And he immediately forgave her because he was not present. So you see, if I want to experience contentment, depth in life, I have to be present. And you probably have a lot of classes, we have in our community, the classes of being in the now. Not being distracted by a regret of the past or an anxiety about the future. Be in the now. So how can I explain to you the joy, the beauty, the majesty of being in the present moment? The best story I know is about toothache. A person has a toothache, and I don't know if you've had toothaches. He says, "Oh my God, if this toothache went away, I'd be so happy." I know this is so true. He turns to us and says, "Do you have a toothache? Do you have a toothache? Do you have a toothache? Why aren't you happy?" is because you don't realize this very moment is a non-toothache moment. That's being in the present moment. Okay, moving on quickly. The third pillar is zakat. It's really about service. Service. You know, again, I was quoting that Bengali poet Tagore. He has this wonderful poetry. He says, I slept and dreamt life was joy. I awoke and found life was service. I served and lo, service was joy. So that's why Rumi says, can you in your life please be a lamp, a lifeboat, or a ladder? And Islamic mystics say, yes, all of you have a divine purpose, a life mission, but don't worry so much about it. What is more critical is develop this attitude of being of service continuously, including service to yourself. Now the mullah story. The mullah is reclining against the trunk of a tree, a huge mulberry tree with small berries, and he's thinking, how can I be of service? He's thinking about his grand mission. Spends a lot of time and energy thinking about it. And he looks out there, he notices on the ground are some flimsy creepers with huge watermelons. And suddenly a thought strikes him. He says, oh God, God, please forgive me. I'm going to make a criticism, but you know, God, we should all be open to improvement in our lives. I notice that you have this huge mulberry tree and a small tiny berry, and yet those flimsy creepers and huge watermelons, something is wrong in your cosmic feng shui design. And suddenly, a small berry separates from the branch and lands on his head, and he's blessed with a greater awareness. Oh my God, what if the berry had been a watermelon? Let me think of some other way I can be of service. Okay, fourth pillar is Ramadan. Muslims fasting, undergoing a period of purification from sunrise to sunset because they are so grateful. Because it was in that month, in the 7th century, in the Arabian Peninsula, that the first verses of the Quran were revealed to Prophet Muhammad. So in gratitude, they pray to God. So the joy of gratitude. I know last week, Brother Ryan spoke about gratitude, but I've got to tell you this story about the joy of gratitude, about the story of the mullah who has lost his donkey. That's a big deal in that part of the world. The entire village tries to find the donkey. They cannot find the donkey. They come back to give mullah the bad news that the long donkey is lost forever. And where is the mullah? He's in the town square on his knees saying, Allah, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. They say, mullah, you haven't heard the bad news. Your donkey is lost forever. So I know, because I am so grateful, because imagine what could have happened to me if I was on the donkey. Meaning, even in times of affliction, if we are expressing gratitude, we are giving thanks for unknown blessings already on their way. In Ramadan, we do a lot of inner work. You turn inside. The joy of doing this inconvenient inner work. Quick story, a very famous story of Rabia, the most beloved female saint in the Muslim world, 9th century. She was trying to explain this to people. People didn't quite get it. This story, I know you know, because this has gone viral for centuries all over the world. She's looking in the 8th, 9th century under those pillars which had fire on it for a lost key. Looking, they cannot find it. The entire village joins in. Finally, somebody from the village says, dear Rabia, can you kind of tell us whereabouts you might have dropped it so we can better direct our search? She says, actually, I didn't lose it here. I lost it miles away in my house over there. Then why are you looking for it here? She's simple. You see, my house has no light at all. There's so much more light out here. So of course they laugh. And she says, you have laughed, which tells me you're intelligent people. Now you tell me. When you have lost your joy, your peace of mind, your happiness, because of a failed relationship out there, a project that didn't happen, you make all those different struggles to change this, change that. That's very important. But did you lose it out there? Or did you lose it inside here, inside you, where it's much more dim, much more difficult? But that's where you really lost it. That's the joy of doing the inner work. Lastly, the fifth pillar, and I'm coming to an end, is the joy of community. Can we really, really come out, as Rumi says, from the circle of time and enter the circle of love? Even prophets sought companions. A wall standing alone is useless. Add to it other walls, it can support a roof. Only when ink joins with a pen can the blank paper say something. So my friend, I'm looking that it's coming to an end, but I have enough time for one more mullah story. The mullah is in London Museum, and there's a very famous learned professor who says this is 50,000 years old. Mullah says, excuse me, it's 50,004 years old. The guide is a little bit annoyed, doesn't say anything. This is 100,000 years old. Excuse me, 100,004 years old. Happens a third time. This is 75,000 years old. Mullah says 75,004 years old. Now he's really annoyed. He says, sir, you have a beard, you have a turban. This tells me you're from the mysterious East. But how can you be so laser precise about those dates? Mullah says, simple. I was here 4 years ago. At that time, you mentioned those dates. Many levels of meaning. One is, it's later than you think. Oh, I got a few more seconds. Okay. So please don't forget, the greatest, one of the greatest joy you can get is by being in, as Brother Ryan said, in nature, particularly from learning from nature. Hafiz says, the earth would die if the sun stopped kissing her. The earth would die if the sun stopped kissing her. But even after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, hey, you owe me. He says, what happens to a love like that? It lights up the entire sky. This is about unconditional love. Rumi says, grass agrees to die so it can receive a little of the animal's enthusiasm. Unconditional love. Interfaith, Rumi says, the branches of a tree, they sway differently in the wind, but they're all connected at the roots. And lastly, if you want to overcome, if I have to overcome my sense of exclusivity, I was asked for days and weeks and months to meditate on this metaphor from nature. All the rivers flow into the ocean. Jamal, you might be following one river, but please do not mistake the river for the ocean. So my dear friends, I have really come to an end now. Please all stand up. I'm told I have to ask you to stand up. I'll do a benediction. I'll recite a verse from a chapter from the Quran, the very first chapter of the Quran, but I have good news. It's a very small chapter. But I'll request you to join me by chanting with me a very sacred sound, Hu, H-U. Hu, and keep on going. Hu, give it voice. Hu. Keep on going. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Malik Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. As-sirat al-lazina na'amta alayhim. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. My dear friends, it has been sheer joy and privilege to be with you. May God be with you. May Spirit be with you. May mystery be with you. Peace be upon you. And just greet anybody you want to touch your heart and bow to the other. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.